Welcome to The Real Spiel with Brian and Kurt. This week we're going to talk about softs a little bit, and often overlooked and maybe less understood, you know, commodity sector. But when we say softs, we're talking about cocoa, coffee, cotton, sugar, you know, globally important commodities, but that maybe the commodities don't always get the headlines. But looking back since the beginning of 2023, softs were actually the leading sector, the commodity winner, if you will, up till, you know, early 2024, and the biggest winner being cocoa, up at, I believe, over 100% on a 1 year basis. Kurt, just wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, these commodities, the concentrated production in these commodity markets make them much more susceptible to weather patterns and natural disasters. Wondering, maybe you could start off with, you know, Western Africa, the production of cocoa and what we've seen over the past year and why we've seen such a run-up in cocoa prices.
Yeah, hey, good, great to talk with you, Ryan. And cocoa is an interesting story. Softs, I think, as well, are very interesting. You know, the cocoa has been a commodity, major commodity, has been traded for decades. And, you know, going back to the early 2000s, traded in a range between, say, $2,000 to $3,000 a ton. It's really broken out spectacularly since the beginning of 23. And it trades, you know, much like other commodities that we discuss and that we follow, it trades on inventories and on scarcity. You know, commodities more than financial assets trade on supply and demand. Demand for cocoa and, you know, demand for chocolate has remained strong globally, and supply has been significantly constrained. When you reviewed your list of softs before, you know, one of the things that a listener might notice is that these are all agricultural commodities. They're all grown, so you can't make them in a factory. You make chocolate in a factory, but cocoa is a bean that grows in a pod. And so they all are produced. They're affected by weather and climate. And they're also geographically constrained. So as you pointed out, about 70% of cocoa comes from West Africa. So what are the fundamentals around cocoa recently? Well, inventories are very low. Their major crop cycle goes from roughly, say, October to January, February or so each year. There is a mid-season harvest, which is much smaller. And for the first time in years, the forward contracts, so Nestle and Hershey and other major chocolate producers, the contracts for delivery of cocoa can't be met for the first time in, as I said, in many, many years, maybe even over a decade, from that first primary harvest. And so those supply contracts are only going to be completed or closed through the secondary harvest. So we're already have low inventories, and then I think the harvest is down roughly in the 30 to 35% range over the year prior. So we're not getting another harvest cycle, which is supportive to restore inventories and keep prices contained. That's just led to this long multi-month persistent run-up in price. And it doesn't show any signs of alleviating because the only thing you can do is wait for the next harvest. We're waiting till, you know, the next September, October timeframe before we have another shot at it in global markets. El Nino was a big factor as a weather pattern. It affected other softs as well, such as coffee growing regions. But the way it's affected West Africa was poor harvest conditions. There is a forecast for a transition from El Nino to El Niña, which may happen starting in the summer of 24. That could lead to better rainfall and conditions in West Africa. But that's predicting the weather, and that's months down the road. It's really hard to see. Right now, what we know is that supplies are tight and output is lower than normal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when people think of commodities, obviously oil, metals, gold, what, you know, corn, but these are often overlooked commodities, the soft sector. And just wanted you to talk a little bit about kind of the typical commodity benchmarks and how they treat these, you know, smaller commodity markets.
Sure. I mean, the two main benchmarks that come to mind are the Bloomberg Commodity Index, or BCOM, and the original GSCI, now called the S&P GSCI Index. And these are important price benchmarks, but they're really designed to be a basic beta representing the overall market. So their commodity composition and the weights assigned to them are really just based around production and liquidity. So they're really not focused on risk or return in their composition. As a result, softs tend to feature very small in the overall portfolio weighting for the BCOM and GSCI. And even within those, the individual components can tend to be really small and have a very, you know, very minimized effect. I believe that cocoa and GSCI is only 0.3%. And then in the BCOM index, cocoa used to be a member, but today and for a number of years, cocoa has been excluded from their eligible universe. So this price rally in cocoa didn't have any effect whatsoever there. So I think these softs are important. You know, coffee and sugar have also done very well for the similar reasons, you know, related reasons to why cocoa has done so well. Weather has created harvest problems in both of those important agricultural crops. And they are geographically constrained. So there's not a lot of alternate sources to go to. For example, coffee, 40% comes from Brazil, 20% comes from Vietnam. Those are small growing regions. And so when you have a disruption to supply and to output or to harvest, there isn't anywhere else to go, particularly if buffer stocks and inventories are low. That means the only thing that can really give is price.
It's interesting to hear that those, you know, well-known commodity benchmarks either hold zero or near zero exposure to some of these, you know, globally important commodities that seem to have some significant, you know, potential upside for investors.
Yeah, I think it's important for listeners to remember that, you know, commodities have been around for a long time. And so, you know, if we were to dial back, you know, 40 years, you know, popular commodities that traded on exchanges were things like orange juice and pork bellies. And, you know, now frozen concentrate orange juice isn't as important. It still is a future, but it's diminished in size. And instead of pork bellies, we traded a large commodity called lean hogs. It's just the contract that's been successful and is important for traders in hedging price today. But there is a diverse group of commodities that investors can access. And sometimes these benchmarks do tend to overlook the ones that are important globally and liquid, but just smaller.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kurt. And thank you for listening in. This has been The Real Spiel with Ryan and Kurt. For any questions, comments, feedback, we'd love to hear from you at therealspiel@uscfinvestments.com. And we'll talk to you next time.